7th meeting of the CWG on March 10th at 1702 UTC. We will be doing the roll call based on the Adobe Connect room, but if there's anyone who is on the audio-only line, I know Cheryl will be rejoining the room and Siva's on his cell phone, but also in the Adobe Connect. Is there anyone who's only on the audio line?
This is Rick Boucher from Sidley. I'm only on the cell phone.
Thank you, Rick. Anyone else? Okay. Seems like we're good to go. Off to you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Grace. Welcome, everyone, and especially welcome to our guests from Sidley. Just to let you know, the protocol is that if you need to speak, typically you put your hand up in the Adobe room. If you are unable to do so because you're only on audio, just know, and we'll put you in the queue and make sure you can speak. So welcome, everyone, to this 27th meeting. We've got a few things to get through. You can see the agenda up in the top right-hand of your screen. I'm sorry I wasn't available to work with you last week, but I hear Lisa did a good job of chairing the meetings, and as it happens, she's traveling this week and so won't be in on this meeting, but she plans to be in on the Thursday meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Just a couple of very brief remarks. Obviously, we, as I've said before, we need to continue to make progress and be seen to be making progress. We've got two full weeks before our Istanbul face-to-face meeting. And overall, clearly our objective is to build out the draft transition proposal. Just remind everyone that there's some of us are working all the hours that God sends, and it's very appreciated what people are doing. And just remember, everyone, this is a working group, and we need as much work and contributions from as many of you as possible. So if you are in any position to assist with the ultimate objective of creating the draft proposal via contributions to design teams or on the main list, that's very welcome, and we appreciate any constructive efforts to help us develop the relevant content, which, of course, is ultimately our objective being to develop a functional, implementable, and complete plan. Clearly, with the design teams, we've been focusing on the functional requirements of any part of the plan before we undertake substantive work, and all of that will be rolled up into the transition proposal plan draft, which is in the form 2.x.x. You will have seen one or more variants of that already. I believe Bernie's working on an updated version, which will include, at minimum, references to all of the existing design teams and the placeholders for those in the document, either proposed or active design teams. So we are still attempting to work towards producing a proposal for publication, for public comment, relatively shortly after the Istanbul meeting. It's an extremely stretching timetable, and I know some of you have concerns about how we synthesize that effort with the input of legal advice and the overarching issue of how we handle any separation mechanism, and so that's certainly a challenge to marry all of that up. But just a reminder, please focus on as many substantive contributions as you can as possible. Let me pause, having made those remarks, and just see if there's any other comments or questions before we move on to reviewing the outstanding actions in then item two. All right. There are three outstanding actions from the previous meeting or meetings. First of all, the one to present the group with the overall design team list and to commence the prioritization of that list. As you know, that's been done, and we'll come back to that in some more detail under item three. The second was to review the design team template for design team A and make sure that the perceived or anticipated scope of work was in line with what had been proposed and published. I guess we will come to that. I'm just checking if Paul is on the call. I don't see Paul Kane on the call, who's the lead of that design team. So perhaps someone from staff could reach out to Paul and make sure he is clear that we'd like him on the call to at least come back to us under item 3D. Someone confirm to me that they're able to do that? Thank you, Grace. And then item the third outstanding action from the 5th of March was work on modifying the principles. And there's been quite some discussion on the list, which is great, and I think that seems to be moving ahead well. The key point there being that right now we don't have Martin on the call, nor Lisa, nor Elise. So some of the key players in that aren't around. And so I expect we will pick that up on Thursday, and that's what Lisa and I discussed previously. So it seems to be good progress on the list, and we're close, it feels to me, that that will pick up. So that remains an open item for Thursday. Right, item two, and we brought this to this point on the agenda in terms of the order of play for a couple of reasons, really. One, because it's clearly a topic of substantial interest in any event, and also I'm aware that one or more members of the Sidley team are available to us in this first hour. So we'll take advantage of that and use that availability to deal with that under item B. I think there's probably a small update from the client committee that we could make, although much of it has been covered on list. There's clearly a recognition that one of the areas we need some input on is the working methods document, which you'll know has been published and is available via a Google Doc to be worked on and any input created. Greg, I am not sure if you would like to provide any other comment or input at this stage, but feel free to do so. I'll pause for a moment to give you that opportunity, and we'll take it from there.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. Not too much more to add. I think, you know, we are at a great inflection point in our work, and I'm very excited to that we are introducing Sidley Austin to the CWG. You know, whatever kinks we need to work out in our working methods, I'm confident we'll work them out. That's already work in progress. I don't want to hold up having Sidley introduced, so I'll step aside at this point and add things further if need be. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And if under item two anyone would like us to come back to and review in this meeting or discuss any elements of the working methods document, let's do that. But let's go to 2B first, have the introduction, and if necessary, in fact, you could potentially create an item 2C, Grace, for us to have a look at any comments or input on the working methods. So, Holly, if you are in a position to do so, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to introduce yourself and any colleagues from Sidley on the who are on the call with us today. That'll give you the opportunity to introduce both yourselves and make any remarks you would like to, and then we can, of course, take it from there and give an opportunity for a Q&A. So to you, Holly.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Holly, we hear you nice and clearly. Thanks.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much, and I'm very pleased to meet all of you by phone that we haven't met in our discussions up to date. We at Sidley are very much looking forward to working with you and taking our direction to you and advising you as you think about a transition proposal for Anna. And with that being said, we think that this is a really a complex and multidimensional project. And we've brought to this project a team that I'd like to introduce to you. We think that there are a significant number of areas of expertise that are needed. We do assure you, though, that even though I'm about to introduce a team that may seem a little on the large side, we're very committed to working efficiently and effectively and, interested in whatever processes you'd like us to follow to help us do that. We've already spoken with the client committee with some ideas about work processes to help us stay as lean and mean and efficient and fast-moving as possible. My name is Holly Gregory. I'm co-chair of the firm's Global Corporate Governance Practice. I also am the chair of the American Bar Association Corporate Governance Committee. And my practice involves counseling a variety of types of organizations on accountability mechanisms and things like board duties, risk oversight, transparency. I'm joined by Ed McNicholas, who's the co-leader of our Privacy, Data Security, and Information Law practice. He has a lot of experience in advising on cybersecurity and information technology and privacy issues. I'm also very pleased that we have with us Rick Boucher, and Rick and Ed are both on the phone today. Rick is the head of our Government Strategies Group, where he practices in counseling clients who need to make sure that a path that they're going down is going to be in line with expectations of government and in a regulatory environment. Prior to joining us, Rick was a congressman for 28 years, and he was on the committee that oversaw the commercialization of the Internet and its transition from a government-owned project to a global platform. So he'll bring a valuable perspective to bear. We also have Cam Carey, who is the former General Counsel and Acting Secretary of the United States Department of Commerce. And as you know, the Commerce Department plays a significant role in the oversight of the IANA stewardship function now. And he brings great experience that will be also helpful. Sharon Flanagan is the managing partner of our San Francisco office. She's a corporate lawyer. She works on corporate governance and M&A transactions and structural issues with corporations and is a California lawyer. We're joined also by Josh Hoffheimer, who's a partner in our L.A. office, and he has IP experience as well as corporate law experience and structuring experience and not-for-profit experience. In addition to this team, we're an international law firm with a range of very deep practices that we will reach out to on an as-needed basis. For example, we have a very strong not-for-profit practice that's very specialized and a strong trust and foundations practice that's very specialized. And those experts are available to us as needed as we consider the issues that are before you. So with that, I'm just going to ask Rick and Ed if they would like to add anything to what I've said. Rick? Or Ed?
This is Ed McNicholas. As Holly mentioned, I'm one of the co-leaders of Sidley's Privacy, Data Security, and Information Law practice. It's very much a global practice, and we have worked on the legal issues involving that have arisen from the Internet for years now. And it is a great privilege, actually, to be providing guidance to the CWG in this context. We very much look forward to working with you. We have the issues that have been presented in the request for legal advice, and we look forward to addressing those questions and more substantively helping shape the legal aspects of the proposals so that we have the questions answered and we have effective, efficient proposals that ensure the transparency, legitimacy, and accountability that are necessary to have effective solutions in this transition. I didn't know if Rick wanted to add anything more.
Yes, thank you, Ed. I'm sorry. I was disconnected momentarily. I'm back now. I think one important element is to make sure that as we are devising a transition proposal, that it meets the benchmarks that key members of Congress have set forth. And fortunately, they have given us a guideline in the form of a letter that Senators Thune and Rubio sent to Stephen Crocker in July of last year. And that letter sets forth some benchmarks that I think it's very important that we achieve as we go forward with the proposals. And I don't think they will be difficult to achieve, but I think we have to be conscious of them and work to make sure that as we are putting structures in place and assurances of accountability in place, that we are conscious of and meet the standards that these two key senators have set forth. Senator Thune, for those who are not familiar with him, is the chairman of the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce. That is the committee that has jurisdiction over NTIA, and that is the committee that has already held one hearing on the IANA transition and probably will be holding additional hearings as the transition progresses. Almost certainly at the point at which ICANN sends to NTIA a transition proposal, we can expect that Senator Thune and his committee will want to learn about that proposal. They will have another hearing, and they will be watching very carefully to make sure that the proposal meets their announced standard. It is not necessary for the U.S. Congress to affirmatively act to approve the transition, but as we're all aware, Congress has the power of the purse and can negatively act in a way that blocks funding to accomplish the transition. It has already done that for the current year. We want to make sure that Congress does not choose to do that for next year.
Thank you, Rick. Jonathan, I'm going to turn it back to you. But again, we're looking forward to working with this working group.
Thank you, Holly, and colleagues, Rick, Ed, and others. It's very helpful to hear from you. And I note recognition of in the chat of the considerable strength that your team brings. And I'm sure as we get to work with you and understand how we can work with you, that'll become ever more apparent. I think this is an opportunity for Q&A with you. Clearly, we are not about to do a deep dive into the legal issues at this stage. This is about giving the CWG the confidence that you have the grasp of the issues and that you have the relevant background and any other comments or questions or discussion points people would like to raise. I'd strongly encourage people to do that now and not be intimidated by the sort of open audio side of things and the fact that the team is on here. This is an opportunity to get comfortable and be comfortable with whom the team that we're going to be working with. So it would be great to see some hands come up and a couple of questions, no matter how basic, so that we can leave this meeting with confidence of knowing that we can work with the team and we can concentrate on the substantive issues we need to deal with and that the group is broadly comfortable. CW, I assume that's Christopher Wilkinson. Go ahead, Christopher. Christopher, if it's you, we don't hear you, so if you could try and come off mute so we can.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
That's loud. Thanks, Christopher. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about the hiccup that comes with the technology. Just a quick word, not exactly a question, but to welcome the expertise and experience represented by counsel that the that have been retained. There's a word of warning that counsel have mapped out. Compared with the periods with which some of you were closely associated with the original transitions within the Internet and ICANN many years ago, I associate myself with that period, there have been major changes. There have been changes geographically, internationally. The governmental interest in ICANN has increased from tens of governments to more than 100 governments. Civil society and...
I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but
Hello? We're
having a very hard time hearing you. And I was wondering if perhaps you could speak farther away from the microphone, and that might help help us hear what you're trying to say.
I'll try with this way.
That's better.
Just to interesting. I have to unplug my right ear to take the microphone away. Just to say that ICANN's community and the internet governance community at large have become vastly more diverse and geographically deepened, and the participation of civil society, of user interests, of the CCTLDs as well as the GTLDs has become deeper and more complex. And I would trust that council would take this fully on board, not least as speaking from a European perspective. It is still unfortunately the case that the U.S. Congress has not yet taken fully on board the globalization and internationalization of the Internet in the last two decades. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Christopher. And I'll just pause to see if there's any response or from Holly and or colleagues. Holly, I'll leave you to direct the Sidley traffic if you want to bring in someone specifically to respond to that. And feel free, if you don't want to respond, also just pass on it and let us know.
Well, I think Christopher raises a very, very important point. We have to be, of course, very mindful of the growth in the stakeholder community, the international aspects here, and that this is not a U.S.-centric exercise. I think we are mindful of that. We have an understanding of the complexities, and I'm sure that we will learn more. And with the working group's guidance, I'm you know, sure that if you feel that there's something that we need to be aware of, you will bring it to our attention. I wonder, Ed, if you would like to comment. And again, I hope that that's responsive. I was having a little difficulty hearing some of the commentary, but Christopher, again, I think that it's very important for us to understand the international complexity, the diversity of the stakeholder community, and the critical interests that we're trying to address.
This is Ed McNicholas. I would just add that we are very much, we approach Internet issues generally as global issues, and we are very familiar and comfortable with different approaches to Internet law across the globe. We have very detailed knowledge of the EU data protection regime, the different methods, the different directives that are relevant in the European Union. We have also dealt very directly for global tech companies with the different issues that arise in internet questions in Asia, and the perspective of the developing world on these issues as well is something that often comes up as we work with a variety of global clients. And so the perspective we bring to this, although many of us are sitting in Washington and New York, is one that is, we hope, a global one, but we also are very much open to hearing any time that we are could benefit from further perspectives. We're certainly open to hearing from those as well.
Thank you both. Just a brief remark before we go to the next in the queue. I think the comment from Christopher was as much about the international internet governance landscape as international legal landscape. So that's a point I took from it, and the changing and more internationalized nature of that internet governance landscape.
Indeed, and just to, if I could speak to that point as well, because we did have a fairly hard time understanding what he was saying because of the audio quality. We're very keenly aware of the transition and the move away from the current contractual framework into something that has to have legitimacy to all of the stakeholders. Obviously, there needs to be a process that is transparent and comfortable enough so that the U.S. Congress and the U.S. government agree to proceed with the process, but it also has to be a process that achieves legitimacy with global stakeholders. Because that, of course, is the whole reason for the process is to achieve a more global, transparent governance method for the IANA functions.
Exactly. Thank you.
And this is Cam Carey. If I jump in to second what Ed said, I certainly think.
Cam, you're a little stopped. If you could speak up or speak closer to the mic, that would be great.
Cam, we're unable to hear you.
Okay. It's either an issue with my microphone or with my lack of voice, so let me just second what Ed said, and I'll leave it for another time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cam. Feel free to come in if you can get a bit more volume on the mic. Holly, did you want to come back on that?
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Eduardo, you were next in line, so come in, Eduardo.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is a wonderful record. I have a question. First of all, I want to welcome the legal team and eager to hear what advice you want to give us. And within that respect, you know that we are going to be meeting in face-to-face in Istanbul on March 26th. That's around 2 weeks from now. And I just want to get a sense of how comfortable you're going to be in answering or providing the advice to the questions that we generated quite a while ago, because that advice will be key to the discussions that we're going to have in Istanbul. Thank you.
This is Holly. I'll respond, and thank you, Eduardo. And we're looking forward to working with you as well. We have the questions, and we're looking at those questions seriously now. We want very much in the next 2 weeks to make as much traction as we can on those questions. To understand the questions, it's going to be very important for us to have a little bit of more insight into your thinking. And so we are planning this week to spend some time doing some diligence with the client committee to better understand the genesis of the questions and the concerns that underlie them. That being said, it's my hope that at least at a high level, we can address many of those questions at Istanbul.
Thanks, Eduardo, and thanks, Holly. One of the challenges we face, and come back in a moment, Eduardo, if you need to say something more, but one of the challenges we face is the challenge we face at present and we will face in Istanbul is how much time to give to production of the proposal other than that which is impacted by the legal advice and how much to work with that. And in part, that depends on how much progress we can make in developing the thinking between now and then. Someone's got an open mic, so if I could ask you to just be careful to mute your mics if you're not speaking. Eduardo, did you want to come back in on that point? Or?
Yes, I just...
or did anyone else?
This is Eduardo again. I just wanted to, I'm asking this because, you know, one of the major things that we're going to face in Istanbul, or maybe before that, if we have chances, you know, which direction we're going to take between having an internal solution to an external solution or a hybrid solution. And I think the legal advice will be key in helping the whole group, in helping, you know, choose the best direction for this proposal. Thank you.
Thanks, Eduardo. I'll just pause a moment if there are any other comments.
This is Holly Gregory again. I just want to thank you, Jonathan. And just, Eduardo, I want to again reiterate, we are going to take our best efforts to make sure that we understand the questions and that we understand them in context. And to the extent that we can provide guidance on those questions by Istanbul, we certainly will, and we're going to make real effort to do so. At the same time, you know, depending on the complexities, I want to make sure that we manage expectations and, you know, we may have further work to do. We also want to make sure that these are the right questions. There may be some additional things that haven't been asked that really need to be understood as well. So it's a lot to get done in 2 weeks, and therefore I want to assure you we're making best efforts. But I don't know that we will be able to have it wrapped up with any kind of ribbon. In fact, I know that we won't. I know that there will be gaps. But our goal is to really get a good start and really be able to get engaged in these discussions with you in a meaningful way. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. And I think that reminds me of a point that Greg has made in the past, at least, and I am mindful of, and that is that part of your initial and perhaps what advice, not in the formal sense of comprehensive written advice, is to give us some advice on the types of questions we should be asking. So whilst our questions that we asked were preliminary and set out the issues in the first instance as we saw them, part of our work with you might be to develop those questions further or indeed create new questions that require new answers.
Agreed.
Thanks, Holly. I'm mindful of a question from Mark in the chat, but Philip, you've been waiting for a while, so let me hand over to Philip Corwin. Bill, we're not hearing you, so it may be that your microphone is still on mute.
Let me start again with my mute off. Phil Corwin, for the record. Good afternoon or whatever time it is. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
just by way of overview, I think it's a very impressive team, and I can say that while he was in the House, I worked with Congressman Boucher on a number of issues, both internet and non-internet, and he's... a very strong addition to the team and has excellent relationships with both sides of the aisle, so I think it brings a lot of strength. My question is, my understanding is that this is the legal team hired by the CWG transition, that a separate legal team will be retained by the CCWG on accountability. Those two working groups will eventually have to integrate their reports and recommendations into one combined package for consideration by the entire ICANN community and then by the NTIA and no doubt subject to congressional oversight. Has any thought been given to once the CCWG on accountability retains its legal advice to whether at some point there's going to be some cross-communication or at least where the teams are informed of each other's advice? I realize that legal advice regarding accountability on the IANA functions could differ from legal advice as well as the prescribed remedies for ICANN as an organization, but still there, we would hope there'd be some consistency in the legal analysis and in the final recommendation. So has any thought been given to how the two different legal teams being retained by the two different working groups will, if they will communicate and how that will be done down the road?
Well, I suspect Greg's hand is up is to provide you with at least a partial answer to that, and I'll just note that Sam Eisner's point in the chat that relating to a point you made, that the CCWG report does not have to be integrated into the ICG proposal. They both are expected to be delivered to NTIA at the same time. So let's go over to Greg, and then we'll see if there's any other further response from anyone else, including team at Sidley. Greg?
Hi, it's Greg Shatton for the record. Just to clarify, the CCWG Legal Committee is going through its own procurement exercise, but largely piggybacking on the CWG exercise at this point. While no decisions have been made, so it would be premature to say what the decision would be, it is at least contemplated that the Sidley team could be providing advice to both the CWG and CCWG, and therefore there would be this idea of two separate teams would not occur. So as a matter of fact, I believe the CCWG Legal Committee is having a call with Sidley later today. An exploratory call, kind of potential client call, as we were having potential client calls ourselves. I think let's not jump the gun yet and assume that there are going to be two separate legal teams that could be, you know, charging off in different directions or needing integration. Premature to say which is more likely to happen, but let's just watch this space. I think that if indeed there are two legal teams, I'm sure that integration or at least cross-coordination will be on the agenda from day one. Thanks.
Well, Phil, again, and just briefly, thanks for that clarification, Greg. We'll just stand by and see what the CCWG does about legal advice. It may be perfectly acceptable to have the same team providing advice to both working groups. It would certainly be consistent, guarantee consistency. One last comment just in response to something Samantha posted in the chat room. I understand that the CCWG report doesn't have to be integrated with the ICG proposal, but Secretary Strickling has certainly made clear that the NTIA is going to regard them as one total package and evaluate them together. So I'll stop at that point.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Greg, for the response. And I must say, from my personal point of view, it would seem pragmatic and desirable that there was potentially even same team, if not close integration between the two. But as Greg says, it's premature to judge the outcome. Let's see where that goes. Are there any comments from the Sidley team, or shall we move on to the next question? Let me just pause a moment.
I have no specific comments on that. Of course, we would, you know, only consider taking it on if it was agreed with the CWG that they thought that it was work that we should do. But that being said, we are having a conversation to explore whether it would be efficient for the CCWG to use the same advisors.
Holly. Avery, let's go straight to you. Your hand is raised.
Thank you. Avery Doria speaking. I guess I have two questions. One in terms of, actually one's a comment, in terms of this group and the accountability cross-community working group using, I don't think that efficiency should necessarily be only guideline. It may indeed be that the specialization that people are looking for in one group versus the other may be different, and being in both of those groups, I already see that there are shades of difference in those. So while efficiency is always a really good thing, I think we should be careful of letting that be the dominant consideration in terms of the legal advice. The question I have is, in the introduction and the initial discussions by the legal team, I was impressed by you know, their perspectives and such, but I was somewhat confused about the relationship between the congressional opinions and congressional hearings and all that hubbub that's building up, you know, in the American political arena with the answering of questions that we're asking in terms of, does this structure, you know, is this structure consistent with law in this locality? Does this legal structure that we are suggesting meet the requirements of our principles? Those all seem to be very much legal questions at a very practical solution-based scale, and I thought that that was the primary goal, versus the other that seems to be almost legal strategy for how to deal with American Congress, which could be very helpful, but I didn't think was really our primary need. Perhaps it's a primary need, but wasn't our primary motivation for bringing in a team. So I guess I'm a little confused as to the balance between those two. Thanks.
I'm happy to speak to that. Avery, and I think it's well said. I think what you said is very, very well said and agreed. The core task here is to help advise you on legal issues as you explore potential structures for the transition. And we've created a team that's well suited to that with a combination of governance, corporate structuring, and nonprofit advice, and also the ability to reach out and get much more specialized trust advice as needed. We did think that it was critical to have on the team some people who could help us understand the context in which this arises. And so we've got and have long experience in the internet governance sphere, and Rick brings that to bear, as does Cam Carey. In addition, at the end of the road, you're going to want to know that what you come up with is something that will you want to know what the potential issues might be, you know, down the road about whether it can be saleable, if you will. I don't think that that's a central issue, but I think it's very helpful for the team to have some of that input as we move forward. But I would definitely agree
Thanks,
with
Holly,
you on how you characterize the focus of our work.
Thanks, Holly. That's a helpful answer to me, and I suspect it's helpful to Avery as well. I hope so. I know Cam is in line to talk. So, Cam, would you like to try and come in now? I'm just mindful of one of the supplementary points, I suppose, and mindful of Holly already having given a very good answer, but that we've been repeatedly reminded of a need to be cognizant of the diversity of stakeholders who have an interest in the outcome of this, and that's a tricky path to walk, but I think your ability to help us with elements of that is useful. Alan, I note your point in the chat. I did reply to you on list, so perhaps you can check that reply and see if it's satisfactory. But thanks for your attendance so far. Cam, your hand is up in the Adobe. I wonder if you are trying to speak or if that's an accident. Okay, I'll pass over Cam's hand for the moment. Is anyone else, I know we're coming very relatively close to the top of the hour and the colleagues from Sidley need to move on ahead of that point. So let me do a final check if there's any other questions or
issues
that need to be.
Hello? Hello?
I hear you now.
In the minimum aid, which a grove of
if that's Cam, we can hear you. You're coming in and out a little, but we can hear you. Afraid we hear nothing again now, Cam.
Yeah, I think due to the difficulty in the line, Cam, maybe we should just pass over and move on.
Thanks, Holly. We've all had our glitches with this system before, but once you get settled on using the audio in the Adobe, as you can see, it's quite a functional system. It's just a question of a couple of goes to get it right, and we can set up a test session with you if necessary to help with the practicalities of this.
Terrific.
Go ahead if there was a comment there from someone. Okay, I think that's timely. It's sufficiently ahead of the hour that it gives our colleagues from Sydney the opportunity to get to the next meeting, unless there is something else. And, of course, this isn't the last ever chance by a long way to engage. It's the first of various forms of engagement to get the tasks we need to done. It was primarily an opportunity for the CWG to become comfortable with the aspects of the working relationship as we kick off. So, Holly, you may want to say anything in closing, but thank you. I'll finish by saying thank you very much to you and your team. I don't know if there's anything you'd like to add.
I just wanted to add that, you know, look, we are looking forward to working with you. We're looking forward to doing this in a very transparent way. And the sort of working procedures document is a very good one that we're committed to. And if there are ideas about how to further improve it, you know, we're happy to be part of that discussion.
Thanks, Holly. I feel that unique is an overused word, but this does feel like a unique experience for all of us. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to say goodbye now. I have to run for another engagement. Thank you.
All right, good. Well, thanks again, and thank you to your colleagues as well, and we'll be in touch either on the mailing list or however best suits keeping working with you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, everyone. I think that was a very useful opportunity. We'll undoubtedly continue the discussion on the working methods and the effectiveness of working with Sidley in this unique engagement. As I meant what I said a moment ago, this is, I know it's unique, it's interesting, and it's great to have this opportunity, and let's make a good go of it. And I take your point, Avery, earlier, this is not all about efficiency, and in some ways that was a shorthand for effectiveness, and let's see what we can do to make this work effectively, and I won't presume anything to do with the CCWG at this point. Thanks, Cam. We'd see you in chat, and we'll catch up with you in future. I've got an open mic, so if anyone who's not trying to talk, if you could shut off your microphone now. Trying to talk, you can shut off your mic.
It's actually an echo, Jonathan, so Grace might be able to problem solve that. That's Cheryl, just by the way.
Cheryl, I was just waiting for the echoes to die off. Hopefully I see Cam's mic is still open, so Grace, you may want to shut that one off. I don't know if it's that one, but that's one you may want to switch off. Okay. It seems we've lost the echo now anyway, so that's good. The next item on our agenda is, well, let me just pause in case there are any other further comments on the legal issues, but I think we've done that reasonably well. I remind myself, I guess, that we opened up 2C, which is an opportunity for any comment or input at this stage on the working methods. See, we've got a healthy second channel going on in the chat. I'm going to find that difficult to monitor. It's sort of, I mean, I realize it's on topic for the group, but it's sort of off topic as far as the agenda is concerned. So it'll be a challenge for me to follow that as well as keep to the agenda. So just draw your attention to the fact that there's a second theme running in the chat, and you may want to catch that up either now or later. All right, so please, under 2C, I'll remind you that there is an opportunity to provide comments and input on the working methods, please do so. That document live is a Google Doc live, which we can work on and try and refine so that we've got broad-based buy-in to the working methods, and we can take it from there. All right, so moving then on to the design team list. What you will have seen circulated to the group earlier was both earlier in the week was the design team list, and that covered both all of the information we've got to date, including a summary of the captures on 1.5 pages or so the design teams, and including an appendix which covers the steps. So you can quickly refer back to the appendix and see what's going on there. Personally, I found it a useful document. I hope it too. I realize there's a lot to digest at the moment. So, and the latest version of that came out only today. It wasn't substantially different. It really modified some details of Design Team A, which we're waiting to hear back from Paul Kane on. As to satisfactory nature of that or not. So there's the various steps. There's the priority. And as I said on the list, there is a priority allocated to something which is final. And Lisa and I felt it would be useful to indicate our thinking on priority. And that's what it means when it's provisional. Because we felt that it wasn't reasonable to let it might impact people's thinking on where they focus their attention and so on, and or they may want to debate the allocation of priority and give some feedback on that. So that's what the purpose of having a provisional priority is. It's an indication of current thinking to do that. And as Grace said, the document is in the chat now and available for each of you to scroll and look at there at whichever point you found. Thanks, Chuck. I'm glad you found it useful, and I hope others did too. Again, of course, if there's comments on formatting and so on, I thought it was useful. Marika takes credit for the sort of pulling it together and the formatting. We did do a bit of work on it to polish that up, and so I think it's in reasonable shape, and I'm glad you found it useful. Are there any comments on the shape or content of this document at this stage and the emerging methodology by which we are working and dealing with this? Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. just curious why there's a provisional priority one for design team F relationship between the NTIA IANA and root zone maintainer. I'm not opposed to that. I'm curious about the thinking on that.
That's a good question, Chuck, and I'm not sure if I can give you an off-the-cuff answer. I'm trying to remind myself of why that is the case. I might have to come back to you on that, and I may even need to come back to you on list. It just doesn't come to the top of my mind why we allocated that one as opposed to two. There may have been some third-party input that influenced that. I'll think about that and try and come back to you. I'm sorry I can't give you an answer right away.
That's fine.
Donna, your hand is up next. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. I guess the question I have is related to timing. It's not clear to me the time frame for completing the design team work, and it would be useful being the co-lead for C to understand what the vision is. Thanks.
Frankly, Donna, that's a concern for me as well, and from a kind of project management point of view, I don't think the dots all join up at this point, and it's a matter of the design teams have started slower than we might have liked. There's plenty of work to be done. I'm hoping that as we get going on these, we'll develop a habit of working and an ease of working and have enough hands on deck to start to do a lot of this in parallel. But I acknowledge and agree with you that right now it looks challenging to get this done in a reasonable time frame, and it's a matter of getting it done as fast as possible. And it's difficult. I don't want to suggest we should put an unrealistic or unreasonable deadline on things, but from the point of view of these design teams, it's about working as fast as possible and producing the relevant content, or at least a decent first pass of that content into the overall proposal.
Jonathan, could I ask a follow-up?
Do.
In the context of the face-to-face meeting, what is the expectation with this work? So it's not clear in my mind what the purpose of the face-to-face meeting or what the agenda will be. So it would be useful to understand that in order to understand, particularly from the design team that I'm leading, how that fits into the mix. I understand if you haven't kind of got that thinking straight yet, but I think it would be useful to understand that piece of the puzzle as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Don. I'll be as open with you as I can, and I think this is work in progress, but the way I see it working is that Istanbul looks like it's shaping up into, it's clear that we structured it in 8 sessions. It strikes me that the group expects, and we would hope to spend some portion of those 8 sessions dealing with moving ahead on the overarching issue of separability and how the mechanics of that may or may not work, depending on the extent of legal advice. So in my mind, currently, and I've discussed this briefly but only sketchily with Lisa at this point, one might allocate 2 of those 8 sessions, a quarter of the two of the 2-day session to that topic, and that leaves 6 other sessions which might individually each be dedicated to one or two 6 design teams. So it may be that we can do more than that in terms of breadth, but that feels like a method by which we might be able to make reasonable progress. So to the extent that the design teams are far down their track, it would be an opportunity to review the work and integrate that into the proposal. To the extent that they are less far, it may be an opportunity to work with design teams in the sort of committee of the whole and make progress there. So that's how it shapes up in my mind at this stage. And being the kind of person that likes to have things organized, I've given you a window into some thinking rather than a concrete plan, which is relatively unusual. But the advantage of that is, of course, it gives you and others the opportunity to feed into that. So we are committed to undertaking the meeting. We're probably not as far ahead as I would have liked prior to the meeting. We've got to work really hard in the 2 weeks ahead of it and try and make the best and most effective use of that, of those 2 days having done so. So welcome any input and hands on deck to both get us further beforehand and make effective use of all of our time and the resources that have gone into that meeting when we are present. Of course, finally, there's nothing like being face-to-face to make more productive progress than trying to do it via these online forums, as useful as they may be. Thanks, Donna. It's an important question and a key issue. Avery, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Avery speaking. First of all, I want to say I appreciate the chart. I'm wondering, and perhaps it already exists and I just haven't seen it, whether it is possible within the chart to have it linked to the write-up that people gave and to include the name of the person that suggested it, which I guess isn't always the same as the person that's leading it. For example, I see in some of those there's a TBC in the leader spot. So that's one. And I know certainly in looking at Design Team L, and they certainly are multiplying, where we talk about the separation mechanism and it says pending legal advice, I'm not really sure I understand what's going on there. One of the issues I did have was wondering how many of these, rapid solution DTs are expected to have sort of come to their annealing point, basically completed as far as they can get before the meeting. Because I would think that as many of them as possible would be the case, but I just don't know. I admit that I still have trouble with understanding the utility of the method, but I have suspended disbelief, so I'm really hoping that it does work. I'm just still really somewhat concerned and don't quite understand. Thanks.
Good, Avery. Let me take that in order. First of all, I think it's a good point to say that, to the extent that there's someone who suggested the design team, it's a good idea to credit that, to record that person who suggested it is not necessarily the lead. So we can put that into the lead field. In other words, if it says TBC, it could include in brackets suggested by. So that's a useful point. In terms of your point on the separation mechanism and pending legal advice, I mean, it's always been my concern that this is an overarching issue. It's an issue for the group as a whole. Some talked about whether or not this could be handled by a design team. In my mind, that's as much a placeholder as a commitment to dealing with this via a design team. It may well be that a design team is not the right mechanism to deal with this. As to the utility of design teams to deal with other smaller issues, I mean, that's the proof is in the pudding, I suppose, and our ability to do so. What was apparent in Singapore was that both within the group, at least for some of us, including myself, and certainly from without the group, there were real questions being asked of our ability to deliver a concrete, practical proposal that asked the questions of us. And it was required, we felt, as co-chairs, to come up with a method and mechanic that was more productive and oriented towards that, notwithstanding the substantial overarching issue that was being asked within the group. So this is a good faith attempt to do that, and it seems to be producing some dividends, although I acknowledge it's early days in that sense of the working method. I note your comment that you remain to be convinced effectively, Avery, that we can make it useful, and let's hope that we can deal with that skepticism or challenge that you face in seeing the utility of it. Christopher Wilkinson, your hand in next.
Yes, hello. It's Christopher Wilkinson again. I've fiddled with the parameters on this mic, and I hope you can hear me well.
Christopher, it's nice and clear now, and it's at the right volume. Thank you.
Okay, great. First of all, I think there are rather a lot of design teams, and I share some of Avery's concerns, because I feel that at least within CWG, we may be stretching a point as to how many, whether there are enough volunteers available to fulfill all these different tasks. I've scrolled through the statements of interest of many of us, and I appreciate the vast amount of expertise and experience present here, but it's there are some of the topics proposed which frankly do not comport towards volunteers from the existing group, and indeed if there were, I would have expected more to come forward. So I think there are rather a lot of design teams. I'm reassured, however, that there won't be more than 26 design teams. For my part, I just want to be quite clear. I support design team I. I'm flattered that somebody thought that I should lead it. I did not propose that. I have asked two or three people whether they'd be interested in volunteering as and when the appropriate time comes for volunteering to work in this area, and I have not yet got responses. I'm not sure, however, Jonathan, what is the protocol for seeking volunteers? Do we seek volunteers before or after the design team has been approved? And finally, I share the thoughts that design team I and design team J could usefully be merged. I cannot imagine that we would find 10 volunteers to cover the whole of this spectrum of confidentiality, competition, and conflicts of interest. We'd be lucky to find 5, and they should do both. Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. Some clear and comprehensive comments. I think it's probably an error to have put you in as lead for I, and it goes back to Avery's previous point of, you know, noting who suggested it, and that's not necessary. So we'll update that to say lead TBC, suggested by Christopher Wilkinson. Just to be clear on these design teams are not necessarily agreed. They are suggested. So this is the landscape of suggested design teams. We may well create efficiencies by merging some of them, not requiring others of them, if overtaking, which is the whole point of trying to prioritize them and get work being done on less than the whole. So just because they appear on this list doesn't mean they're all work in progress. They've been suggested. To your point about volunteers, it's a good point, and that's one of the points, reasons I was making the point at the outset of the call and throughout, that we need members and participants to roll up their sleeves and participate and contribute. Of course, the CWG is open, so anyone is still welcome to join. The only concern I'd have with that is getting up to speed, but to the extent that they join to participate in a specific and provide specific expertise to a design team, that's great. In terms of seeking volunteers before or after approval, we've covered that by the concept of expressions of interest. So people can can indicate expressions of interest, and then we will seek volunteers once the design team is approved and ready to go. So that's dealt with in that way. And in terms of merging I and J, I'll just make the point that that's a live topic on list. There's been a response to the proposal, the effective proposal to merge them, or suggestion that they might be merged in this document. And so I suggest we carry that on list for a while, and or if necessary here in the call. But it's a topic of discussion, whether how to handle the topics, whether all of them are in scope or not of I and J. So that's a live discussion. I'll hold off there. I think I've covered most, if not all, of your points, and I'll pass the mic over to Chuck, who's next in the queue.
Thanks, Jonathan. Chuck Gomes speaking. And I'll first comment on the I and J issue. That isn't why I raised my hand, so I'll get to my main point after that. My concern about merging I and J is that J I see as pretty much procedural. We need to set up some procedures to deal with cases where there are conflicts of interest, whereas I believe, is much more policy-oriented, and I think the practical results of J might get bogged down in the more complicated policy issues than I, but I'm fine talking about that on the list. That's good. My main point is this. As I look at all these design teams, most of them make sense to me in terms of individual components of an ultimate proposal. But the thing that seems to be missing in our approach here is the overall solution that all of these fit into. I don't see where we have that covered. Now, maybe that's the intent of the proposal development work after the face-to-face, or maybe not, but that's where my concern is. I don't see where all of these elements are going to fit. They all seem valid, and they all need to be covered, but what are they going to fit into, and where do we cover that? I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'll stop there.
To me, it makes sense as a question, Chuck, and I'll give you my answer, and I'd welcome any comeback on that. My answer is that we are responding to a request for proposals from the ICG. As we know, there are two existing proposals from other communities that are sitting and lodged with the ICG at the moment. They were very helpful to me, at least, in that it gave me a clear view of what a complete proposal might be, although they're not necessarily, they're clearly not valid for our group. But to the extent that we have prepared a skeleton or a shell proposal, in fact, that shell proposal version 2.x.x that Bernie has worked on contains various complete elements and, of course, various incomplete elements, and the design teams are there to populate those incomplete elements. Of course, what won't happen in doing this in this componentized fashion is it won't magically provide the answer to how we deal with this overarching question of separability in extremis, but that's what we are working with the legal advisors to find what mechanisms may be possible and how those might work. I think one concern, again, to go back to that point going into Singapore, was that the group was absolutely preoccupied with that mechanism of separation, whereas the mechanism for separation is an eventual and extreme scenario that may ultimately be required, but we have a lot of practical work to do in the meantime, hence the work on the componentized brick-by-brick build-up of the proposal. But it struck me that what we didn't want to do was do that brick-by-brick componentized build-up of the proposal without a sense of the wood for the trees, or I think you say in the U.S. something to do with the forest. But anyway, I'm sure you know what I mean when I talk about the wood for the trees, and we trees for the forest, I suspect it is. And so we required an overall proposal, which is what's been circulated to the list, and I'm very much hoping a revised version of that, which contains the latest work and references to all the design teams and how they plug into that overall model, will be available to us pretty shortly. So, Bernie, I don't know if you are on the call. Is Bernie on the call? Maybe he could give us an update as to when he planning on producing a revised version of that. Bernie, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I've been working with Marika, and we hope to have that updated version with the potential and allocated DTs out later today, latest tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Bernie. Chuck, was that a satisfactory and comprehensive enough answer to your question, or does it leave you with a hole in the answer still? And does anyone else have any comments or questions in relation to that, the design team mechanic and the proposal and the relationship with the legal advice and how we work?
Jonathan, this is Chuck. I'm not sure. I still don't have a feel for where all of these important individual elements, how they fit together. And I know we've got a draft proposal that Bernie and Marika are spending a lot of time on, but there seem to be some key ingredients, or maybe it's the glue that ties all these things together that's missing. But I'll leave it at that and just continue to cooperate in terms of where we're going. I know where we're headed, and I know what we need, but let me leave it at that, and maybe my concern will be addressed as we move forward.
Well, Chuck, I hope so, and I also hope that if it's not, you'll both feel free to highlight how it's not and assist us with doing so, which I'm sure you will. So let's work at that and see if we can't make sure that the backbone, as I've referred to it, which is the draft proposal, is that we can see it take some sort of shape already. I felt that was necessary, as I say, both to find places into which we could plug these components and as much to demonstrate to us and to anyone watching our work how a proposal might hang together. All right. Paul Cain is not on the call, I understand, so we will skip over an update from Paul, and I'll ask Alan if you are able, Alan, to give us an update on any developments with respect to the work of drafting Team B. I think Alan may have stepped away from the microphone briefly, so I will go to Donna, if that's okay with you, Donna, and then I'll come back to Alan in a moment.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. So the draft team for the CSC has been, the scoping document has been approved by Jonathan and Lisa, and Jonathan has recently set out an email this morning, or depending on where you're located, seeking volunteers for the group. So I think that's all I have to say, really, Jonathan.
Thanks, Donna. And to your earlier point that we discussed, clearly the objective in getting things going now will be to bring as much as we can to, as you are able to, you and the group are able to, in a format that can be useful in Istanbul, and we can pick some of that up more offline. So thanks, Alan. Let's turn to you and see if you can provide any update at this point.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm sorry that I stepped away for a moment. So we are provisionally underway. We in BTB, I like that. It has a certain cachet, I think. And as I indicated in the draft proposal, we're looking at doing a survey of the CCTLP community on the need for an appeal mechanism for CCTLP delegation rebellion. So we met for the first time on Friday. It's myself, Martha Simon from .nl, Bart, and and Elisa Lindeberg from the DAC. We had a very good discussion, and through that, I think we're going to make a couple of adjustments to the the design. This is primarily a CCTLD issue to deal with. I thought it important that the GAC be involved, which is why I suggested GAC participation. During the call we had, it was decided that it might be better to characterize the GAC involvement as an observer, because if they are a full participant, it might be construed as endorsing some of the questions or the options that we might put in the survey. And so rather than deal with that, I believe we've agreed that Elisa will take on observer status, even though she sees everything and participates as she would otherwise. So we're working on a draft survey. We've had a few exchanges of emails, and we're rolling, as they say. I was pleased that Martin Boyle has volunteered on the list to join us, so welcome, Martin. And Stephanie Deschino from Newstar volunteered and then withdrew her nomination, and we're sad to see her go, but that's all right. I think she did it by mistake. So for the moment, it's Martin, Bart, myself, and Elisa. We're certainly open to further GAC participation, but by the same token, I don't feel a particular need for them. So in an effort to bring a measure of closure to this, I was going to propose that if there is another GAC volunteer, I'd be happy to accept them. But if we don't get them, say, by tomorrow, then I think we'll just kind of provisionally close it just so it's not hanging up like that. So that's the end of my report, but I'd be happy to answer any questions. Oh, I'm sorry, one minor point. We have not set up our wiki and our mailing list archive. That's outstanding. Grace had sent me an email, and I will follow up on that. Apologies, Grace. So that's the end of it. Any questions? I'll be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Alan. You answered my concern at the final point, just to ensure that you are using a publicly archived mailing list, and that where possible you use the ICANN provided call facilities, although it's not mandatory for the design teams, but it's clearly desirable. Any other comments or questions for Alan, or frankly anything to do with the work of the design teams at this point? All right, I'm going to move us on then to the AOB item. I noted earlier there was lots of discussion in the chat. Is there anything anyone would like to raise under AOB that hasn't been covered under the formal agenda so far? Are there any other comments for the group, any issues that anyone would like to raise, points to be made? Seems to me to be necessary given the objectives that we meet regularly. I know it's challenging for everyone to keep on top of the pace of this. Believe me, it's challenging from a chair's point of view to be prepared for each meeting and to keep the ball rolling. But I assume we have your support to carry on with these twice-weekly meetings. It's necessary to produce things. Is there anything we could or should be doing differently that would make things? Thanks, Sabri, for your support for that. Is there anything we could? I got an audio glitch there. I got a network connectivity glitch. Something happened there. I'm not sure what it was. So, Grace, if you could just confirm you can hear me again now.
Jonathan, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Great. But I assume it was. So, really, just calling if there's any other input or advice or comment as to effective work in production of the group. Avri, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether it's reasonable to put target termination or target report dates on all of these and to indicate, for example, which of those we can expect to be done before Istanbul, which are certainly aiming for it. That might be a helpful forcing function on driving these things. Thanks.
It's a great point. Thank you, Avri. I think it's desirable. It may not be reasonable, but it's probably necessary. And I think that actually in thinking about the piece that's missing here is clearly we've been very focused on creating all of these elements. What I mean, Chuck made the point of how it fits into an overarching proposal. What's missing here is an updated version of the project plan. I'm loath to promise you that we'll have something at the next call, but I would like to achieve that. I think putting this all in and seeing what we can reasonably target by Istanbul is highly desirable. So I hope that by Thursday we can produce an update to the project plan and do exactly that and map out what needs to be done in the interim. What should be there for, you know, a provisional agenda for Istanbul and how that all hangs together. I think Greg and Sidley made the point that they want to do some form of diligence call, try and spend a little time understanding what the landscape is. So it's important from that point of view in terms of integrating any of their work and the desire to get input from them at Istanbul. So I think we've got some project planning work to be done over the next 48 hours, and we'll do our best to bring that to the group on Thursday's meeting. All right, I'm not going to stretch this call out for the sake of it. That comment I just made on the project planning was the only substantial one I think I had in terms of any closing remarks and making sure that was understood. I guess the only other thing I'd say is please be mindful of the objective to keep the work going as fast as possible. And just because somebody, a co-chair or member of staff or anyone else isn't breathing down your neck, if anyone involved, particularly in the design teams, but in any other element of the work, can keep your pedal to the metal, as it were, and keep working at producing this. And we expect, as Bernie said, that there'll be an updated version of draft 2 coming out, and it'll be very interesting to see how you feel about that, see where the placeholders for the design teams exist in that document. I look forward to your comments on that. Yeah, and I note your comment, Mark, that and Avri, on the project planning and including the fact that project planning would benefit from some risk analysis. Okay, any other comments, questions, or points before we call the meeting to a close? Have I missed anything? Yeah, perhaps we should just make sure we cover off the action items then before we close. You'll see this. We're going to come back to the principles at the next meeting. We've got to make sure there's an open item still on the design team A, on the scope, make sure the scope's aligned. I've asked Grace to circulate that letter that was referred by Sidley that was sent to Steve Prokop last year in relation to this project, or the ICANN board, I assume. We're going to modify slightly the way in which we allocate leads and the proposer or suggester of the design team, and an updated version of draft 2.x will be available tomorrow, and we'll push hard on the design team. So perhaps we can put target date on the design teams as well, please, as a final action as part of overall project planning. Okay, thanks everyone. Useful meeting. Hopefully there's a good half hour gained in each of your respective days or evenings to get on with further work, particularly that in support of this group. With that,
thanks,
we can call the meeting to close the recording. Bye.
Bye.
Gracias.